Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday, April 8th meeting of the Joint Powers Agreement. We got a couple of people still coming to their seats getting coffee. Let the record show that all members of the City Council are new business. We're going to put that at the beginning of our new business. We will do our consent calendar first, but then we'll go right into that item. We will have public comment at the very beginning right now, and this will be our only public comment, so speak on any of the items that are on the agenda that you're interested in as you come up. We do have a timer. We are going to limit you to 3 minutes, and with that, we will open it for public comment. Oh, yes, and when you do come up to speak, please tell us your city of residence. Yes, come right up to the microphone here.
Good evening, Mayor Peters and President Enns. My name is Robert Stoller. I'm a farmer up in on the Morro Basin along Morro Creek. We grow avocados there and have since 1978. And my concern is that whichever system, whether it's the MWH system that you describe and consider, or the PERC system, that the affluent reclamation water be appropriate for agriculture in the hopeful event that that becomes available for us in the Toro Canyon, in Morro Canyon, Little Morro Creek, and Choro Canyon. There's thousands of acres of land that would be available for irrigated agriculture. But the most important thing is that we want to make clear that the reclamation gives us water that we can use on all crops, not just on golf courses and lawns. And it's important for us to be able to have that water available so that we can recharge the basins and throw all this marvelous land and this marvelous climate into productive agriculture. And this matter of buying local and making sure that the environment is maintained. Just remember, every one of these trees that's an evergreen is pumping out oxygen and sucking in carbon dioxide every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Members of the board, my name is Jack McCurdy. I'm a Morro Bay resident. I believe that you have what you feel are the best interests of your communities in mind when you make decisions on matters you are responsible for, despite some differences you and others may have. Therefore, it should follow that you will take it upon yourselves to exert your best efforts to spend your constituents' money now to address the needs of disposal of all our wastewater. To be clear, I, and I believe others who may appear here, are not asking you at this time to cancel what you have done on the upgrade to date. We are not asking you to wipe the slate clean. We are not asking you to choose an alternative contractor now. What we are asking is that you consider, just consider, an alternative, the alternative approach offered by PERC Water, which may offer more for residents at a lower price in the way of an upgrade. We are simply asking you to pause and listen to what PERC Water can provide to our communities and allow PERC Water to make a formal presentation to you at the earliest possible date. Let's hear if PERC Water can convince you and us that its DBOF, design, build, operate, and finance approach can be of greater net value, even if it entails not going forward with what has been funded so far. In other words, let's challenge PERC Water to show that the JPA and residents will get more for their money over the long haul by changing course, even though we have already started a down one road. How can you, as guardians of the public interest, pass up this opportunity simply to look into spending less and getting more in a plant upgrade? The proof of your commitment to your communities rests in your decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Dorothy Cutter, and I think you owe it to the people who live here to give us the best possible water treatment plant for the least amount of money. And since PERC Water has come forward and looks very interesting, that you really have to take a look at them before you go keep spending more money. So I urge you to please take a look at them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Daniel Krasick, and I agree with Dorothy that, you know, in the greater interest and the long forward or forward-looking future for our children, grandchildren here in Morro Bay, that it would make a lot of sense to take a look at other alternatives. I've made myself vocal, and probably not before this committee, but I've made myself vocal in other committees about my orientation to progressive technologies, and quite frankly, I'm very disappointed that...
Chapter of the Sierra Club, representing San Luis Obispo County Sierra Club members. I'm just going to read a few excerpts from two letters.
Andrew, you're a resident of...
I'm a resident of Los Osos. I'm going to read excerpts from two letters sent by the California Coastal Commission to the San Luis Obispo County Public Works Department on March 25th and July 19th of last year, which we think have a great deal of relevance to the issue before you. The commission asks for, quote, necessary and appropriate mitigation measures for adverse project impacts because the tertiary treated wastewater will then be available and can then be used for other beneficial uses, i.e. groundwater augmentation, irrigation, habitat enhancement, etc. It seems clear that if the project is a tertiary project, many of the effluent disposal options will be completely different from those that have been evaluated and could significantly change the scope of the project, including the availability of effluent for a range of beneficial uses, including but not limited to injection wells, urban agricultural exchange, or purple pipe programs, etc. In this regard, it is incumbent on the county to thoroughly evaluate and explain the various options and implications so that fully informed and best land use decisions can be made. We are also concerned about and strongly urge the county to build into the project sensible and doable wastewater reuse and disposal components. We strongly encourage design of a project that returns flows to the basin at project startup, particularly because it appears that multiple discharge options exist over the basin. As previously indicated, one of those feasible options is agricultural reuse, which has the added benefit of reducing pumping from the aquifer. Other feasible options include urban irrigation, residential reuse, purple pipe, constructed wetlands, dispersed leach fields, and on-basin spray fields. There is little doubt that tertiary treatment can assist in addressing community water supply problems, which should be a part of a broader discussion of community needs and benefits derived from a project that includes tertiary treatment. This is particularly appropriate given that the project represents a significant public infrastructure investment, which is capable, if properly conceived, designed, and carried out, of achieving multiple public and community benefits. The county's LCP policies call for balancing of groundwater basins and protection of watersheds. A project that does not fully return tertiary treated effluent to the basin would be inconsistent with applicable LCP policies, end quote. And I point out the same goes for Morro Bay's LCP, which also references Coastal Act Policy 30231, which mandates preventing depletion of groundwater supplies and encouragement of wastewater reclamation. That is what the Coastal Commission had to say about the Los Osos sewer. We do not think that when... Thank you.
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing, Citizens for Affordable and Safe Environment. I want to comment on the wastewater consulting. Los Osos, California. Although I do come over here to spend money.
Thank you.
So anyway, you have a great town. I really like Morro Bay, and I like all of you. And I appreciate everything that you're doing to try to make this a better project. But I will say that I have 12 years of background with Montgomery Watson Harza, who I have found to be disingenuous, who I've found to misstate technical values, who have really not protected the environment in their processes, and who don't seem to be concerned about anything but making the project as expensive as possible, which they have done to our town. And I did speak to that a little bit the last time you had a meeting, and you did approve Montgomery Watson as your design team. So I would like you to be aware that they were in Santa Cruz about 10 years ago, I think 1995 or something, and they designed a project there that turned out to be so expensive that the county of Santa Cruz rejected that plan. And because I'm an affordable housing advocate, I'm concerned about large sewer bills. And our sewer bill in Los Osos, designed by Montgomery Watson, started out about half of what it is now, and it ended up, after the design, very expensive. For example, the bids came in on the project in 2005 at 50% over. That's an unheard of overage, 50%. So you better watch out, because it's coming at you. And that's what they do. And they've done it everywhere. In New Orleans, in near Tampa Bay, in Cape Coral, they have been thrown out. So I think you really ought to be concerned about who you hired, and you better be watching them very closely with a microscope. And, you know, we have a sewer bill now that's proposed to be 12 times, what the national average is. That really is a hardship for people that are on Section 8 or subsidized housing or low-income housing or rental people.
Hello, my name is Taylor Newton, and I am a resident and business owner here in Morro Bay. I have a nursery up at the top of Quintana, and I am responsible for the grounds management of St. Timothy's Catholic Church across the street. At the nursery and at St. Timothy's, for 9 months of the year, we have a water bill at both places between $400 and $600 a month, which is a considerable amount of water. In the wintertime, our water bill goes down to $50 to $100 a month. All of that water is irrigation. Recycling of water would really make a huge difference as far as you know, what we're using. I have a degree in botany from Cal Poly. For 3 years, I was a field sampling scientist for the Navy, field sampling water throughout the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean. And I also have worked for 2 years for UC Davis as a field sample scientist, sampling water from Redding to the border of Mexico. In my experience over a decade, the technology and research and science of water analysis and water toxicology has a huge difference of years. Usually, for one of the projects I worked on for UC Davis, studying estrogen in the water supply from birth control, we had a 5-year secrecy document I had to sign. So the study we were studying, which turned out being true, wasn't even made public for 5 years. So you can see my point about science being behind the times. My experience with the Navy showed me that throughout the world, water is one of the most important resources and also one of the least appreciated resources. What we do to our water supply is amazing. Nothing compared to what you could see like in Japan's waters. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. But I think that anytime you have the opportunity to listen to an opportunity that could save you money and help the environment you live in, it's worth taking the time to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Jane Heath, and I'm a citizen in Morro Bay, and I just have a couple of comments. First thing is, I want to thank this board, because it's clear to me, although I haven't been present for all of that time, that you have put a great deal of time and energy into this issue. And I know that it's disheartening for you to sit there and hear people say, you need to rethink this. But I'm going to ask you to please do that and to please keep an open mind about it differently. And as a citizen of Morro Bay who plans to be here for the next 30 years, please God, I really am very much concerned that we're not 10, 15, 20 years looking back and saying, if we had only done this differently. I'm really concerned about multiple use of land. We now know that water and land are not our commodities that are finite, and we have less and less of both all the time. And I'm concerned that in an effort to move things along in an expeditious fashion, we may lose sight of the fact that 15 or 20 years from now, we could have done something differently that would save us money in being, for example, Morro Bay, the largest consumer of state water, very expensive state water on the Central Coast. So those are some issues. You know more about these things than I do. But what I do know is that I'm a taxpayer. I'm concerned about those things. I appreciate that you're concerned about them. But I want to make very sure that we look very carefully at this and make choices that we think are going to be as good 20 years from now as they are today. And in particular, you know, I start to think about if I'm driving somewhere and I make a wrong turn and I proceed down that road, you know, am I going to not turn around, just keep going on that road because that's the way I'm going? I don't think so. The farther I get away from my destination, the longer it's going to take me to get back. And so I would really urge you to look at all the proposals that are available and to do something that's not only good today, but good 20 and 30 years ago. And I thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Oh, Melody DeMerritt, former council person and member of your board, resident of Morro Bay. And I'm here to talk on in support of listening to PERC. And not that I know all that much, but I know that they wowed them at the business forum, talking about their plan and their idea. Also, I would urge you to go with PERC because it's visionary, it's new, it's different, and not go with the same old, you know, 20th century model, but to think about a 21st. But on a slightly different basis, I got shocked the other day. I got my water bill. And my water bill precisely says that I had zero usage of water and that I owe the city of Morro Bay $52. But I know that I flushed the toilet a few times, and I know that I voted against the sewer charges that the city of Morro Bay voted for. And forgive me if I don't know what was telling us we'd have. I went to PERC's website today, took a look at what they did in Santa Rosa, just sat there and watched that facility with the underground workings of it and the above ground and the fact that the footprint is smaller when we're fighting for land down there next to the trailer park. The footprint is smaller. There's no smell because it is underground. The water's all reclaimed, and it costs less. If it costs less, maybe you could put an end to this 5% raise every year. I don't have a fixed income yet, but I soon will. And many people in Morro Bay have a fixed income. We have to look for the low-cost and visionary solution to the wastewater plant.
Thank you.
Good evening, board. My name is Keith Taylor. I'm a resident, property owner, taxpayer, and ratepayer. First of all, I want to commend you on your board. I've watched this go on for 4 years, and I think that you're doing a great job. Okay, I commend Bruce and his staff in running a wonderful wastewater treatment plant. So, you know, I was in business for 35 years, and I used to make bids and quotes on contracts, contract manufacturing. You had a certain amount of time to get that in. Once those contracts were awarded, it's a done deal. Okay, so I just want to say that you want to think about this, because I'm worried about any liability we might have as a board. And so I just want you to know that whatever your decision is, I support you in that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bill Yates, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. This joint board started talking about this in 1995. I think Mr. Enns was the only one around at that time. In 2003, there were three of you up here that were at that meeting in Cayucas, where I believe it was unanimous, but that goes back so many years now, and the dementia's kicking in. If it wasn't unanimous, it was near unanimous that we voted to start down the path of tertiary treatment of our wastewater. Here we are 7 years later, and now things are coming along that may or may not, we should take a look at the other group, and I don't know them, and I don't know what they do, if they want form with this board. And here we are 7 years after we took the first vote, and people are saying, wait a minute. So I support you, as one of you just told me a little while ago, stay in the course, stay on the path, and get it done, and not keep putting it off. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, Board. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Steve Owen. I'm the Vice President of Business Development and Infrastructure Development for PERC Water. Just wanted to stand and let the board know that we are here tonight, obviously, to hear about the decision on this new business item. But I also want to thank you, and as has been stated by others, you all have done a great job, and you do what many cities and CSDs and towns around California have to go through and do go through on a daily and monthly basis on trying to meet the requirements of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. It's not easy. I can tell you, though, that what, and I appreciate all the nice comments that have been given on our behalf, and but I would not be foolish enough to think that you as a board would just say, okay, PERC Water, we're going for it, and you can save us money, come in here. We know we're going to have to go through a competitive process, but what I want to let the board know tonight is you're not too far down the line. You haven't even begun to go as far as some of our past clients, where they've spent the millions of dollars on the design only to find out they can't afford it, so they've had to then backtrack. You have the opportunity to even run this course parallel and look at design, build, operate, finance, and there will be teams in here competing for that business. In the case of Santa Paula, it was about a six-month process. Once they figured out they couldn't keep going down that the design, bid, build road, they put out a DBOF, RFQ, RFP, and within 6 months had selected a firm, happened to be our firm, and we're just here to encourage you to step back a minute. You definitely have enough time. We've just finished the facility in Santa Paula in less than 24 months, 7 months ahead of their mandatory date to comply with Regional Water Quality Control Board. So those things are, as well as the...
Sometimes that's it's tough to kind of get that tiger by the tail. But, you know, here we are with the situation where, you know, we've got to adapt a little bit and be flexible and recognize that there may be a better technology out there, and it's probably worth taking a look at it, especially if we can do it now and not feel the penalty of it. So I would encourage you to have a look, take a look, keep an open mind, and let's see what these folks have to offer.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jenny Brantley. I'm a resident and business owner here in Morro Bay. And I think this is such a wonderful opportunity to be open-minded, to see what the present technologies are, to examine them, to compare budgets and proposals, and to really embrace what might not have been available 7 years ago, but is available to us today. I'm delighted that it's not too late for us to reconsider the decision, to put previous decisions perhaps to the side temporarily and really be open-minded and read the information available to us through competing bids and to consider all bids and all options for this town, for its future, for the future of that area that is currently the sewer plant. As much as it's really great, I encourage everyone to go check it out. It's a wonderful place to look at. But there is also a smell there sometimes, and it is wonderful prime beachfront property that could be odorless and a wonderful park if you've seen any of the design drawings that PERC has done. And I'm not suggesting that we go with PERC, perhaps, but just to see what's possible. It's really, really inspiring to me, and I hope that you're inspired to consider other proposals. Thank you.
Good evening, Board. My name is Steve Haney, Cayucos resident and business owner. Owned and operated my own small business in Cayucos for 35 years. I own and operate a water sport surf kayak company, and I'm very involved with local waters. I strongly encourage research our options. It's now, not 15 years ago, not 15 years from now, it's now. So we need to really research our options and look at what's available. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board.
If not, a motion would be in order for approval of items 1 through 3.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Okay, Betty, item A4. I assume these questions are for Mr. Keough. It's his report. In the first,
we should read the title. I'm sorry. Status report on the environmental review and permitting process. That's the item.
Thank you. In that first paragraph under discussion, Mr. Keough, you mentioned that the Environmental Science Association is working on the EIR and the environmental document that we need for this project. I believe Mr. Ambo had been doing in-house the EIR, so have they taken over the EIR, or are you still doing that in-house?
We contracted with Environmental Science Associates to actually perform the environmental review and permitting process for us. So Mr. Ambo had been kind of the lead person in interacting with the consultants, and currently right now we're kind of doing project management by committee with both city staff and district staff involved in that process as needed.
Mm-hmm. So the city's in the lead, but this consultant firm is doing it for us along with the environmental review.
Yeah, that's correct. And as pointed out at past meetings, I think that the city is the lead agency in the environmental review process. Okay. And I'm basically the applicant at this point, I think.
Okay.
Bruce, this is Rob Leivick, city engineer, interim public services director. I would play the lead role in overseeing ESA's contract as far as environmental review and permitting as the wearing my regulator hat in this process.
Okay. And then, Mr. Keough, also in that same paragraph, you refer to a modified project description. Is this something that will come back to this board, or is that just going to move ahead as it is?
The modified project description will come back to this board, I believe, in an amendment to the facilities plan. And that's kind of the progression of when you adopted the facilities plan, it was a draft document, and we will be working on finalizing that document.
Okay. And there's no timetable for that right now.
There's a timetable,
but there's no deadline of when you'll be bringing it back to us.
Yeah, that's correct. My guess is we're working on that as diligently as possible, and I would think you would probably see
discussions with other board members and talking with staff. I've been assured that there would be some alternatives analysis within that draft document, and I just wanted to ask again how that would interact with the document, and it seems like very much like we're committing to oxidation ditch and focusing in on that technology at this point. And so I'm confused a little bit as to how the alternatives would play into the document.
The oxidation ditch process was chosen as the primary alternative look at. The scope of the environmental document is to look at that plus other project alternatives. So they'll be doing analysis on other types of treatment methodologies and comparing that with the oxidation ditch.
And that would include the membrane systems and so on?
Yeah, that's correct. We did include the membrane batch bioreactor in that process.
Okay. Thanks.
Anything else? Okay, want to make a motion? So I would move that we receive and file this report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Cayucas.
Cayucas, motion to approve item A4.
Same motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to new business, and as I announced, we're going to move item 3 up to the top because I'm sure that's where all of your attention is focused. I would like to say that our titling on this was a little bit in error. We should not have named one company, but it should say determine whether to have a presentation from a different delivery system. So let's we're going to focus our discussion that way rather than a specific company. So, okay, Bruce, are you doing the presentation?
Madam Mayor, I'm not sure, just point of order, I'm not sure we can do that since that's how it's read. I mean, that's how it's written. I don't think we can change that. I mean,
I'm not changing the title. I'm saying that we should do our focus on a more general, broad view rather than focus on one company. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess I'm questioning if that's legal or not.
It's legal. Yeah.
Mr. Carmel, would you care to comment?
He said no.
First of all,
okay, thank you.
Provision.
Okay. It was just a matter of focusing the discussion, that's all.
I understand.
Not focusing it on one thing, but making it broad.
Yeah, as much as we've had issue at city council meeting about titles, I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. Bruce.
I'll just give a brief introduction, and Mr. Owen of PERC was correct in his assessment that PERC provided a presentation to the city at a brief presentation, public comment at a city council meeting, and then followed up with a business forum presentation. The real question that I think that we'd like to see discussed is a philosophical question of whether you want to have presentations from other firms that can provide alternative treatment strategies. And the philosophical question is whether or not you want to, currently we're in a design bid build process where we have a design engineer on board. When the plans are finalized, you will go to the bid process and you will try and solicit the lowest construction price. The project delivery system that PERC has proposed is a design build operate finance system that is different inherently from the one we're currently using. The reason that we've struggled philosophically is that if you open the door to PERC, you're also opening the door to probably lots of other companies that may want to come in and provide that presentation. And I think if you want to follow, as Mr. Owen pointed out, you would have to pursue a competitive bidding process by basically stopping the current process and pursuing a design, build, operate, finance proposition, and then you would put those proposals out for public notice, and you would see who would propose on your project. And so I think the question, I would agree that the title was a little errant, is really the question of whether you want to entertain that notion, and that's the discussion, I think, the philosophical discussion that the boards have to entertain this evening.
Mr. Keough, if I could.
Go ahead.
Just if you wouldn't mind speaking a little bit to our existing design contract that we have entered into with MWH and the temporary suspension clause in there as well as the termination clause. I'd like to have that publicly described so everyone's clear as to our options there and the potential liability or impacts that could happen if
we got our treatment plant and we decided we had to do something totally different. You could terminate that contract and you wouldn't suffer penalty. Your liabilities would be for the work completed today, effectively. And then you go, you'd have that discussion and the potential liability, regardless of what your contract says, that they could come after and try to pursue lost profits. They could sort of argue some of those points. But you go, really, the way the contracts are written is you do leave some flexibility there.
Just to confirm, Section 4.0, that we do have a temporary suspension clause as well that gives us a chance to say we'd like a little more time. Please discontinue work for the moment, and we will interact with you in the future.
Correct, and that's effectively what we've done with ESA, which is our environmental consultant. Right, we started the project. We had our project description. We were well underway when we ran into the flood issues. And so effectively what we've done with ESA, we actually haven't formally notified them of that. Professional service firms are usually pretty good about working with you on things like this. So ESA has really sort of sat there kind of twiddling their thumbs waiting for us to be ready for them to reengage in the process. And we have that ability also in the MWH contract.
And the other question I have, speaking to the timeline, in conversations with other staff members and our city attorney, it's clear to me that we do have the potential, if the timeline is what we feel is one of our biggest limiting factors as far as the timeline for construction and completion of the project, if it came down to a decision between the best project for the community, following due diligence and asking for an extension with the Regional Water Board, we could, and very likely, or at least we'd have a good chance of receiving an extension if we've shown the diligence of putting in the legwork and following a pretty steady time frame. So
and
that was a comment that I received today.
And I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, in that we've adopted a time schedule with them that has penalties associated with it. We could certainly try to argue that point, but you go, I'm not sure that you would get out of it. And I would look to Tim to sort of, you know, if he needs to correct that opinion.
Dylan?
Could.
Excuse me, but Tim, were you able to reach the board today?
Yeah, just one minor modification. On the suspension provision, it is a cause suspension. It's linked directly to cause. But you're right on the other stuff. I did have a chance. I've spoken with them 3 years and 11 months or so to go to implement the project. To get back in that process and to get before the regional board, and I don't know how many of you were actually at those hearings, they were pretty excruciating. And we were given some very severe and stern orders to move this thing forward with all due speed. Certainly not impossible to go back and get this thing tweaked a little bit. And if there's a desire here to do it, we can certainly walk down that path. But I've been cautioned several times. You know, you're talking EPA. There's a bunch of levels of approvals and a bunch of public hearings that would be required to get there. It's not just the regional board. It's the EPA. And the other thing that sticks in the back of my mind is, you may not recall this, but the NRDC formally petitioned the regional board's decision and the actual settlement agreement and the conversion schedule. And they lodged a formal petition with the state board and held it in abeyance under the condition that we move forward based on that conversion schedule, again, with all due speed. Pretty much said, toe the line, deviate by one day, we're resurrecting that petition, and you'll be in a world of hurt. And I've heard it several times. So with those as sort of broad cautions that they tell me, and that is no guarantees, you can certainly apply for it. There's a risk in doing so. Don't stop what you're doing. That's really what I'm hearing is, please, if you do it, run it down parallel paths. And I guess with those as the overall cautions, yeah, certainly we can attempt to do it. And there's no guarantee when you get there that even if staff endorses the idea, and they may, depending on what treatment level you're talking about, that the board themselves will agree to that type of extension. And, you know, the time lost, the energy, the resources, you know, I think I look at it more, and this is not a legal issue. You have a fairly limited staff here, and splitting it up, running what we have down the course we have, and then splitting staff down another course is really probably going to distract and detract quite a bit from moving that project forward. So I'll shut up now. The answer is yes, you can do it. It's just not going to be easy.
Thank you, Tim.
Confirmation question. As part of our timeline to 2014, that also includes the Coastal Commission review.
That's correct. It is a complete completion of the project by 2014.
All the way through to the Champagne Smash.
You betcha.
All right. I'm going to pass on my questions
okay.
for now.
Rick,
I think
question?
I have one more. Tim.
I think my question is probably for Susan, if you don't mind. Regarding timeline, we have different timelines.
Years ago, the initial ending date on that was March of 2010, but because of the state stopping funding, they went ahead and offered us a one-time extension, and we threw up that we thought it would take another year to get where we needed to be with the grant requirements. So the grant will now expire as of March of 2011. If we sort of slow down the train and stop the process, we will definitely run into some problems with this grant. And once it expires, it's not a huge amount of money, but it is $425,000. So I don't think that's something that we want to sneeze at.
Ms. Slayton, what is the purpose of that grant?
The purpose of that grant is for planning and design, and so it will go through the EIR.
And will it also go for the design process?
A portion of it.
So we're actually using it up right now?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Any other questions from council?
Yes, I did. Mr. Keogh, aren't we currently ahead of our schedule?
There are numerous tasks outlined in that schedule. We are currently ahead in the design process, and we're a little bit behind in the environmental process. We should have published a draft EIR by this point, but with the floodplain issues that we ran into and kind of the big ticket item there was, it kind of put us back on our heels a little bit. We have not put out the draft EIR for public comment, and that's the one area we're behind at this point. But on the design process, we're actually several months ahead at this point.
And they're actually going in tandem because of the redesign, and one's depending on the other for the new project design.
Yeah, actually, I think it actually works better now that we have both consultants on board, because the design team can interact with the environmental team, and, mm-hmm. and they can kind of coordinate what they're doing with each other to ensure mm-hmm. that, you know, one's not boxing one into a corner. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Noah, thought of the other.
Yeah, my last question, and let me know if this is going too far ahead in our agenda tonight, but just out of curiosity and to make sure everything's I understand things in my head, with the project manager item that we have following this later on the agenda.
That's my role. I deliver projects for the city in my role as capital projects manager. We use design build in the city of Morro Bay. We used it very recently. Probably 3 years ago, we completed our last true design build job, which was the Bonita Street Fire Station. Design build is a great delivery method for certain projects. And you go, normally what happens, you guys don't, maybe you're lucky or unlucky, I don't know how to describe it, but you don't usually get involved in that selection. You go, that happens prior to the projects coming to you. So when I bring you a contract to award to a construction contractor, I've already decided that we're using design bid build or design build and have already done the work to get it to that point. You guys make the decision to award a contract and move forward. I think this is great that you're getting the education tonight. I mean, you're being exposed to sort of some different and alternative delivery methods. You go, you can decouple, really what we're talking about with this item is the project delivery method. And you go, right now, our time schedule's been built around a design, bid, build, project delivery method. What PERC specifically is referring to is a different project delivery method and also a different project type. So in this case, if we wanted to pursue an alternate delivery method, we could do that. But we could do that to pursue the project type that was the oxidation ditch. However, you know, I wouldn't recommend that we do a design build. I would say we do not want to pursue a design build at this time. There are reasons for that, and Steve-O alluded to some of those. In Santa Paula, with a single agency, it took them 6 months. And they were much further in their design process than we are. I believe they were at about 60 or 65%. And when they made that decision to sort of change their delivery method. We have a lot of work because we have two agencies that are sharing this load. It actually slows us down quite a bit. And it complicates the sort of negotiations and the overall project delivery. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit when we get to the project manager recommendation. But you go, with those two agencies, it would take us much longer than 6 months to prepare an adequate design build RFQ or RFP. When you're talking about design build, design build is a very generic term that describes one of probably 10 or bid on their project. And so you go, there's any number of sort of iterations of design build, but normally that all occurs sort of under the scenes, behind the curtain. I don't know kind of the right way to describe that. You go, it's a fairly technical process, and what you're doing is you're balancing your project timeline, your budget, your risk, what you know about the project with the delivery method, and you go, that's done with some skill to ensure that you have successful project completion and project deliveries. So you go, it's a great delivery tool. I will advocate it when the time and place is appropriate. But for this project, with kind of the multi-headed hydra that we are, being a joint powers authority, it complicates that process and would make it much more time-consuming. So my best guess is that it would take us at least a year to prepare the RFQ or RFP, depending on how we decided to do that. And then from that point, we'd have to leave it open for some period of time, probably 3 months. Maybe you could shorten that down to 2 months or something to make sure that it's competitive. Then we would have a selection process. We would have to bring that back here. And I'd have to sort of ask the question, I haven't seen anything in the design-build approach that would make me think that that's a better fit or it's going to be help us to get to a successful project more than the path that we're currently on. Actually, my recommendation is that you continue down the path of design, bid, build. You're many years into a multi-year time schedule that's been designed and built around that process. So effectively, that decision's been made once by this board, and you're reiterating that tonight. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that kind of came up.
Yeah, so the question of project manager, especially as it's been presented in the next item, is a third-party manager that gives really a nice, balanced, non-biased commentary to both of our boards and helps support our staff that aren't focused on that specific part of the,
yeah,
of the project.
We're probably jumping too far ahead with that. I think when we get the project manager, but certainly...
But the
project managers certainly and traditionally pick your project delivery method. It's certainly a role that any project manager that's worth their salt is going to be comfortable with.
And they could help us negotiate and
correct
determine that. Now, my last question... and it's just more out of curiosity. As I've sat on the board and before I was on the board attending meetings, I can't recall seeing or hearing about a real basic list of criteria that we as a body, Cayucas Morro Bay, have identified as the parameters of success. What are the criteria for what we want the project to deliver to us? And I don't know if I just am not aware of that, but I'm just curious to know if that exists. So we know if we do decide to evaluate some other options.
To get to MWH.
Yeah, let me... I think you have to. Billy Yates' comments were appreciated in that projects go through different phases, and a lot of times time passes, and they're not always as transparent as this process has been. I came on with the city in April of 2007. At that point, you guys were pretty far along. So we chipped along. The facilities plan was adopted. I believe it was in November of 2007. Somewhere thereabouts, the draft facilities plan was. We started the environmental process based on that project description and got curtailed. So we decided to speed up the design process to try to make up some of that time we lost in the environmental process. We also did that, though, to have some additional eyes and some more expertise to sort of back check. Hey, we had a major change in our project description. We had a major change in kind of what we were doing. We were effectively rehabbing the one facility, and now we're building a replacement facility. So we sped for the design process. The way that works is that you go, we prepared an RFQ. In that request for qualifications, that's a very, we send that document, we send notice of it to the newspapers, we send it to engineering plan rooms. You go, that document goes out, we send that document out to the world. And in that process, we ask everybody who's qualified, we give a project description, we say, hey, here's what we think we're building. Please submit your qualifications to us and show us how you're qualified to help us through this process. That's fundamentally what an RFQ is. You're looking for qualified people, firms, to respond to you and to help you through that, recognizing that you want some help. And so you go, we sent out an RFQ. We had five firms respond to that. Perkwater was not one of the firms that responded to that RFQ. They certainly could have been.
Dylan, that RFQ was specific to the oxidation
dish. Yeah, it's written specific to the project at hand, although one of the respondents actually proposed a membrane bioreactor.
You just missed it.
Correct. They were found
right.
to be not
so
qualified.
So it was a very specific RFQ or RFP, and Perk Waters, my understanding is, does not meet the qualifications of what you were looking for, so there was no reason for them to apply.
Yeah, and I won't speak to kind of their business decisions. I certainly can't. And so you go, we sent out that RFQ. We had five firms respond. We had a seven-member panel, WH, Carollo, and then Brown & Caldwell. And so those three firms were invited back. That panel then met. We had a series of technical questions. We gave them 20 minutes, I think, to walk us through their presentation. And then we grilled them for an hour and a half. And we grilled them. We asked them all sorts of very pointed technical questions, trying to dig into their expertise to ensure that, one, they sort of match what we were trying to do, and then two, to make sure that we were really getting the experts in the field. And so you go out of that interview process, then you go, that seven-panel board that consisted of staff from both the city and the district, and then some outside help as well, determined that MWH was the best fit. They were the most qualified team that we had the opportunity to work with from that RFQ process. And so that's how they are selected. If we wanted to do a design build project, we could do a similar RFQ, and we would go out, instead of for just a design team, we would go out for a design build team, and it would be, usually it's a contractor that's the lead, and then the contractor hires the engineer. That's really the main difference between design build and design bid build. It's who controls the engineer's work product. And design bid build, which is what we're doing right now, MWH is a consultant to the joint powers agreement. And they're consulting to both the city and the district. Under a design build approach, we lose that control over the design engineer, and they usually become a subcontractor to the contractor that's selected. So, you know, they're different tools for different spots, and I think it's a real key point that you pick the right tool for the right occasion.
Yeah, and I guess I just to get back to my question is really about the simple criteria that we as a community have selected. Yeah, for success and measurement of evaluating which firm or delivery model or technology is going to fit and be the best system for us to invest in. And I'm just curious to know if we have a simple list of criteria about what we want to see in the ultimate project, so we understand and we're all on the same page about that measurement.
And I think that's a great discussion for the board to have is how do you define success? I know from a project management perspective, right, you want the best quality project as quickly as possible for the lowest possible.
To me, it looks like getting that tertiary project completed within the timeline with the project that we described, that we all, the majority of us, voted for.
Okay. I have one more question for Mr. Wade.
Okay. Dylan, we got one more.
All right, if you
what's
could
the,
repeat
what's,
that.
What's the longest it's taken you to do an RFP for the city of Morro Bay?
The wastewater treatment plant was probably the longest one that we did. That wasn't a design build one, and so
I'm asking how long did it take you to write the RFP?
And I'm we kind of poked at it for a while before we actually got serious about it. So I'm trying to kind of in my mind clear that up. I think it took us about 3 months to prepare that document.
Okay, thank you. All right, Cayucas, questions?
First of all, I want to announce that Hal Phones is going to need to depart. He's going down to Santa Paula to look at a treatment plant. Actually, he is going that way. He's going to Santa Barbara to pick up his wife at the airport. So I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. First, I would like to say to thank, show my appreciation for the tone of the public comments this evening. We've seen much worse. We've been ridiculed much harder, told where to go in no uncertain terms.
And so, I'm ready to do that again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm kidding.
You're next on my list here. Don't go away. Second, I'd like to thank Steve Owen for being here this evening and for clarifying to us that he understands that we don't just throw out Montgomery, Watson, Harza, and hire Perk and go down the road. It's a process, and it's been described in detail here. I won't belabor that point. My third comment is that I'm a curious person. I think we owe it to ourselves to educate ourselves. If there are different facts out there that we need to learn about, I think we should do that. So to that end, I have personally had contact with Rob Aragon, who's another PERC person from the northern part. Go to Santa Paula and look at the plant, learn what I can about it, and educate myself about what these things, what's being done there and how it's different. I also understand there's a project at Mountain House. Is that a community or?
CSD.
It's in Tracy, California, is that right? And I'm volunteering to go there and take a look. What I'd like to do is summarize my findings in an opinion paper, which I would present to the next JPA meeting. I'd like the permission from the Morro Bay City Council to discuss directly with Dylan and with Bruce facts that they may have that could help me summarize my education. And to that effect, I would also, recognizing that NOAA has been the flag waver for this new direction, ask him to do the same thing and to also write an opinion paper to see if we both come up with the same answers. With that, I want to clarify, and I believe you did this, Dylan, that there are two things on the table here. One is the project delivery method, which is this build, design, build, this whole process of how this works. Also, the what you call the project type, which I'm interpreting to be what treatment process you use. And what I'll do it to that regard is go back to the Corolla report, take my memory back about 3 or 4 years here. Appreciate the former mayor making that comment that we did this a long time ago. But to try to bring some of those process, decision-making processes forward in my paper so that we can all understand how we got here without having to backtrack for 3 years or 5 years or 7 years, and bring everybody up to speed and allow that to become a part of the public record so the public can read and understand all the facts that are before us. My only other comment is based on what our counsel, Tim, will do some investigation and hopefully be able to clarify some of the issues at hand and satisfy the public's curiosity. With that, I'd ask if there are any other comments from our board.
Yes, sir. I, too, would not like to see our train, quote, derailed at this point. A lot of work has gone into this, and an incredible amount of work long before I came along on the board. And I think this approach where suddenly we see PERC water coming before us, and it makes me think that kind of our process has been disrespected, and I do tend to resent that a bit. I do not see why PERC Water could not apply to be the construction company at a point when we're ready to begin construction. But I think the way I see PERC Water now, they are late for the presentation, and the time has passed for them to make a presentation. And we need to push ahead and ask them and others who are qualified to bid for the construction of the project, and I'd welcome them to do that.
Um,
I'd like to ask a couple of questions for Dylan, if you wouldn't mind. And Robert, maybe these are, you could include some of these in your paper that would help some of us newer board members who don't have the history of the entire project. Were there any other delivery methods considered besides the design only process?
And I don't know that I'm the right person to answer that question. When I came on board, the draft facilities master plan was an administrative review. We had already sort of started down the road of design, bid, build. So I don't think we've
I'll take that as a no.
But I'm not sure if that didn't occur before I got here.
As a member, I don't remember that we considered anything different.
Okay.
Well, we wouldn't have known, I don't think, because as Dylan said, that's something that staff usually does without asking us that technical process.
This may be sort of the same question. When was it that a design-build option was eliminated from the RFQ or RFP process? It doesn't sound like it was ever really considered, at least while you were on board.
Yeah, so, RFQ that was written, we wrote an RFQ for design. So effectively, if it hadn't been eliminated at that point, we did it here very recently.
Okay. Who decided that the oxidation ditch technology was to be the only factor in the plant design?
That was a board decision.
Okay. Do you know when that was?
It was originally done with a draft facilities master plan was adopted in 2007. And then in September of 2009, that decision was reiterated and reconfirmed.
And was that decided having looked at all other available technologies and selecting that as the most appropriate for
all's
our
a word
needs?
That makes me nervous, right? I mean, you go,
yeah, okay.
But that was done using Corello as a consultant, and I can speak to that if you let me digress a little bit. We use Corello as a consultant. Corello engineers analyze the ones that they thought were most applicable or the best fit technologies for us in the facilities master plan. So that ground has been covered. They looked at the MBR, and this board ruled that out. There again, though, in the design RFQ that we wrote, we opened that door again through our RFQ process, and we really opened that door and we said if there's alternative, we kind of opened the door so that other professionals could give us their opinion. So what we did effectively was we used our RFQ process as a means of getting free work out of those five firms, right? Because we asked very specific questions in our RFQ, very technical questions, let them sort of pick at some of the foundation work that was done in this process and let them review that and see what their opinions were. And what we found, sort of the majority opinion that came back is that you go, the road that you're on is the right road to be on. And that an oxidation ditch is a good technology for the application that we're using it for. That's the right fit.
I'd just like to insert here as well that when we first looked...
build a new plant.
Well, I got to jump in and say that one of our discussion items on the membrane system was the expense of the operation of it and the maintenance of it. Right. We had that discussion for a long time, and it was a rather heated discussion. And that was our concern, was the long-time maintenance and cost of that was more than the oxidation ditch.
And recall, that discussion was mostly during the facilities master plan in September. But it was based on information gleaned during the development of the facilities master plan. So when was the facilities master plan put together?
I think 2007, I think Dylan said. I'm looking at my schedule here,
and
but it's
we
got
actually
a lot
started
of
in May of 2006, and it was adopted, I believe, in September of 2007.
I wasn't finished. If you could just give me one more minute. So just to clarify then, you mentioned, you know, that we you as a capital projects manager have all these tools in your toolbox, and I guess I still don't understand why the design, bid, build is the only tool that we selected, or why was that the only tool that we considered to move forward on this project, as opposed to, say, the fire station? What were the circumstances of the fire station that made another tool more appropriate?
I also think that's a great question. You go, and certainly you get into sort of the arena of professional opinion, and there's room for difference there. I'm not saying that the project that we're currently pursuing could not be built using design build. I'm not saying that. You go, at this point, though, to do design build, it would cost us time and effort to sort of restart. What I can say is, from my perspective, I wouldn't recommend the design build process for our current project. And the reason that I would not recommend that, there are a number of reasons. Design build, the discussion does get nuanced. A lot of it, and probably most simply, it boils down to the fact that we have two owners that don't always agree on what project we should be building or how it should be built. Lose a lot of that control. Once you've selected, and there's nuance to that too, in that you go, design build's a fairly broad term, and you can structure it differently. But effectively, you lose control of the quality of your project. It requires some more kind of upfront work, but less probably work during the construction phase than design bid build. But having the design bid build process, the reason that I would recommend is that you go, it gives the technical staff from both the city and the district a lot of points to come together to hash out the project description, to review the numbers with a consultant helping us walk through that process to determine the actual plant that gets built.
And how is that different than the fire station?
The fire station, the city of Morro Bay had a very simple description of what we needed. We wanted a metal building, 20-gauge, 40 by 60, with an 18-foot roof at this pitch. That was about a one-page. It was a very simple, straightforward project. Generally speaking, design build is best suited for a simple, straightforward project where you don't have a lot of risk of getting the unknown. On a wastewater treatment plant, my concern with design build is that unless you specify a level of quality, you may wind up with something very different than what you anticipated. And I have some experience in the design of water and wastewater treatment plants. For example, one thing you might wind up with is, let's say you wind up with all post-tension members as your structural members. Well, that would preclude you in the future from coming back, and it would limit your ability to sort of cut holes in that structure and wedge in new pipes or modify your treatment process or make changes, because if you cut a post-tensioning thing, you've just ruined your structural member. In the design bid process, if you didn't specify that you didn't want post-tensioned or pre-tensioned members, you wouldn't guarantee that you wouldn't get that. And so there's a risk there, but to you as a project owner, that you're not going to get the level of quality you anticipate. On the flip side, as a project owner, the design build approach does provide, you transfer some of that risk to the contractor. They take some of that financing risk away from you, but because they specify what materials they're going to use rather than you specifying that. And that's an oversimplification, but in the context of trying to answer the question tonight, I'm oversimplifying a bit.
Well, a station where you know with specificity what it is you want to do, that's where you might save money by bidding out in components as compared to something like this, where the risk of financial overrun could be much higher.
Yeah, your risk in the traditional design bid build process, you as the owner have hired the designer separately from hiring the builder, and that's probably your single greatest risk, is that you've selected a poor designer and they design a poor project and your builder delivers that poor project. You go in the design build arena, you've transferred that risk, and you go, now you've hired a design build combination team, and it does sort of change your risk level. But very traditionally, design build is used for projects that are more straightforward, that have less nuance in sort of the quality of materials. I don't know that there are a ton of wastewater treatment plants that have been done design build. I know there are some out there. And I know some of the problems with design builders that you just don't control that quality. So you are trading sort of control for some financing risk. The way that you mitigate that with the traditional design bid build is that you go, you send the biggest piece of the work. So your design phase and your construction administration are maybe 10% of the project cost. So what you do is you take that 90% of your project cost and you send that out to bid. So effectively you minimize that risk.
That assumes that your designer is designed something within the construction budget parameters of what your budget is.
And that's why you go through the RFQ process, is to make sure that you've selected the most competent design professionals that you can, because you're counting on them to do a significant and important piece of work through your project. But the design build process, you hire your contractor effectively, and then he goes and picks an engineer that he wants to work with. And that's, it is so, I'm oversimplifying so much. I mean, we could have a whole workshop on the nuance of design build and some of the different project selection and project delivery methods that design build allows you to do. But in really sort of quick and simple terms, you go for a complicated project with multiple owners, design bid build is probably the safest project delivery method.
Is there any stipulation in our onus on any other option that's available to us now? The onus should be on them to demonstrate that is a better technology and a better solution. And I too tend to look at Santa Paula and others and see, but I think people need to bring PERC or anybody else needs to bring some more information to the table if we're going to take a look at that. And just one other comment, there's a terrific article in Rolling Stone magazine this issue by Matt Taibbi on the city of Birmingham, Alabama's wastewater treatment plant and how they look to private financing through J.P. Morgan and interest rate swaps and all of these creative ways to finance a project and wound up basically bankrupt. And just a little cautionary tale about something that you can get suckered into with some complexity. That's all I have to say.
Shirley, any comment?
No.
All right. Madam Mayor.
All right, comments down here. We haven't had our comments yet. It's our turn.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Go ahead. We'd like to start.
All right. Thanks.
Rick?
All I've been thinking about for a long time is the sewer. So whether you agree with me or not, well, it's been well thought out from my perspective. I also don't want to stop this train. I also am agreeable to checking out the other facilities with an open mind. I have been, you mentioned about going down there. I wouldn't go for the next week or two because it's not quite online yet. It's not operating. The one in Mountain View is it's just a matter of days for Santa Paula, but I think it's going to be like a week or two. Our water rate minimum, our sewer rate minimum in Morro Bay right now is about $35. In November of 2009, Santa Paula's was raised to $59, and see it coming along. There was a comment about ours going up yearly. Well, Santa Paula's goes up yearly also with the CPI. And there was some talk about, you know, reclamation, which I am a big fan of because I think it's crazy to put tertiary water in the ocean. And we can't do that for a long time. We need to, I mean, we have more and more people that are drinking out of the same glass. And you can't sustain that. And I firmly believe that, I mean, right now we're in a good El Nino year. We're getting a little bit of rain. We're not under too harsh restrictions at this point. But that's going to happen. We're going to go back. We live in a drought state. We're going to go back in drought conditions. And we're going to have all these people that are continuing to move to and build in California wanting to drink out of that same glass. So reclamation is something that we are going to have to do. But I do remember the conversation very clearly regarding the membranes versus the oxidation ditch. And we really didn't go along with the membranes, like we said, because of the cost of the maintenance. And not only that, but the cost, the energy costs, the high energy costs, the intensive energy use in running the membranes, and the carbon footprint that would leave. So anyway, yeah, bottom line, I want to continue with this process that we're on. We spent years and years of blood, sweat, and tears on it. We're in a process that we need to maintain. I don't want to lose our grant. I mean, that is $500,000 just about. That's nothing to sneeze at. We could use that. So sure, let's continue to look. If something wonderful pops up, and I was at the presentation that was given, and believe me, it you know, looks great. And but there was no contract there, so anybody can come in and say whatever they want to say, because they're not. It's not a binding deal. So let me see it on paper, and in the meantime, you know, let's investigate it, take a look at it, do the best we can. This is the biggest thing we've ever done. This the biggest money expense this city has ever faced, and we want to get it right.
For PERC to come back in a month and give us a presentation as well. Because that is the discussion item tonight, and I'm not hearing whether you're agreeing to that.
No, I'm agreeing to going down and looking at what they're doing and talking to the people and seeing how effective it is and what the rates are and what the differences between private financing and state revolving fund and the implications of that. I need to do my homework on the issue.
I agree, and I appreciate that.
The answer to your question is no, I'm not.
So you're going to bring back your information, but you're not willing us to hear the information.
Not only my information, and you're certainly invited to go along.
Some of us aren't capable physically of getting to those places because of our responsibilities. So I feel like I'm being denied a presentation, and that you're able to go do that research, and I very, very much appreciate that. I very much appreciate that. But I'm wondering why you're not willing to let us have that same opportunity here, along with the information that you bring, where you can challenge what he presents because of the information you're going to gather.
I guess that's a fair question. But the way this whole process has gone with the RFPs, the chance was given at that time. And it wasn't taken. And to come along now and to want that kind of a benefit, I don't think is fair.
And so, you understand the RFP was not written in a way that they could apply for it.
The RFP was written in a way that we wanted it to be, and we agreed on that treatment. And so, you know, we as a body agreed that's what the RFP included, is what we directed them to do.
And I agree. And that's why it was written, and that's why he did not or that company, I should say, did not apply. But you're penalizing a company for not applying for something that they weren't eligible to apply for. And now that we are aware that there are other options, which were not presented to us, that you're denying us that opportunity.
Okay. Could we not make this just an argument between the two of you? Why don't you just...
Well, then I would present that argument to the rest of you as
all
well.
Right,
and to
you Cayugas. State your opinion, and then we'll get to Noah, and then we'll get to Carla, and then we'll get to me. Okay.
My argument is that we need to hear this. We owe it to the community. The community has asked for it. The whole community cannot go to Santa Paula or someplace else. They've asked that information be presented to them here in their own communities, and that they have that right to hear that. And this parallel track can be maintained with that presentation as well. It doesn't mean all these ifs. The ifs don't go away, but I think we're trying to preclude something by limiting our scope. We've been presented with very traditional technology, and I think it's okay for us to look at other kinds of options. It's not going to cost us anything.
No, any other comments?
Really want to pass, huh? Oh, you just want to have the last word.
I get the last word.
No one wants to have the last word. I would hope that if the decision tonight is to entertain having a presentation that, again, we go back to this item B3 or whatever it is, that it's not just Perk Water then, because it should be offered to any other company that would be offering similar type of system deliveries. So I think to say the decision here is whether or not to see a presentation from Perk Water isn't so much really the decision, in my opinion, because we're opening a whole Pandora's box and how many companies could all of a sudden come and want to do a presentation. I appreciate Mr. Enns being willing to do that, and I hope that Noah will meet him in the middle there and bring back that information, so that maybe we could have that as a presentation rather than somebody who's interested in selling us their product. But I'm very curious to see how the plant that's been running in Mountain House is actually where they're at now that it's been online for a few years versus one that's not complete. I'd kind of like to see how it is operating down the line. But I'm not interested in stopping the process of the direction we've headed with MWH. I have a lot of questions. You know, it's easy to show up at a 30-minute presentation and sell your product. And it sounds good when you say you're going to save somebody $10 million or thereabouts. But I guess for me, part of the thing I'd want to know is what it costs in the end to buy it back out of the finance part. You know, nobody's in business for nothing. So I have a feeling at the end when you get ready to buy it out, through the years, it's going to be a lot more than the $28 million we're looking at right now. And I appreciate Mr. Wade's information on the design, build, DBOF, all that. And I'm a little concerned about the comparison tonight that was being asked about our Bonita Street station, fire station.
And I'm glad that that work has been done. And I'm also thankful that we are at this point and we have what's been presented to us as a very intriguing option that appears to have the chance to be of interesting value to the community, and I'm hopeful we get a chance to evaluate that authentically and take a look at it. Right now I have a couple of concerns, the foremost being the public trust and the way we will be perceived if we do not give this option or this system or design delivery method, this delivery model, a chance. And I think it's essential that we do that, because if we try to avoid, we're in the midst of somewhat of a conflict and a decision as a board. And if we sidestep that conflict and don't meet it with authenticity and curiosity, we're asking for more problems and headaches and delays down the road. I think that will come in the form of extended hearings and appeals at the Coastal Commission and also just from the public in general.
I'm sorry, could you specify? I'm not understanding what you're saying about the delivery method. Are you talking about the DB,
yes,
the DBB,
yeah,
or are you talking
model
about membrane and oxidation?
Well, I see both. There's a lot of interest in the community.
Because they're two different things.
So
I want to know which one you're talking about.
I'm
not sure.
I think evaluate both. And I would say that the work that went into the facility's master plan to evaluate, for instance, the technology of the membrane system, as was pointed out earlier, was 5 years ago. And a couple of our speakers tonight very eloquently pointed out that the world of technology, especially in wastewater treatments and water treatment in general, because of its intensity around the world, is accelerated drastically. And I would say probably on par with how our computer systems have. Knowing people that spend time on ships, they are constantly upgrading and adding new technologies to their water filtration system. So I have a genuine concern that our facilities master plan and the numbers that we used when we did the initial comparison, or the previous board did the initial comparison, just in the system alone, the oxidation ditch versus the membrane system, that's 5 years old at the minimum. And what I suspect is that the information that we were informally presented at the investment for the community, if we sidestep this conflict and don't meet it head on with authentic evaluation, we cannot know that. And therefore, I would be extremely uncomfortable with going forward, because basically we're trusting that that we didn't miss something really good. And that will look... that will look really poorly on the community as our final decision, and ultimately the cost of a project is in question then, and that again leads to public trust. As far as our time frame that we have, we were presented at the September meeting with letters from the NRDC, from the Sierra Club, from Surfrider, stating very clearly that they want us to select the best project for the community. They are happy that we've focused on the tertiary level, and they were willing to talk about removing or not acting on their abeyance threat, or whatever you want to call it, if it turns out they perceive that we are authentically evaluating the best project. And I want to make sure that's noted, because there's clearly an interest on their part and our community's part to make that decision. So I really I appreciate Mr. Enns's challenge to duel with opinion papers, and maybe we'd both agree that would be pretty exciting. But I also think at the same time that's the two of us looking through our own personal veils and our own bias. And I would hope that we could actually, as a body, decide on some criteria that we all agree on and are clear about as far as what our goals and our measurements for a good project are, and then use that to determine which one of these companies or delivery models or systems are best going to fit that. And instead of trying to inject our own effort and bias into that, let's allow some of these companies to come forward and present some of their information. I think we owe it to ourselves, because of the size of this project and the investment level, to do that and to take some time. So I am uncomfortable with continuing the timeline as status quo, because I think we really owe it to ourselves and the future people that will be paying the cost of this project to take a breath here, because we have the chance.
Well, this changed here. It's not like building a house where you hire your architect and you hire a builder, and then somebody comes up in their pickup truck and says, hey, I can do it for less, and I'll give you these new plumbing fixtures. It's not that simple. It is so complex, and it is so... there's so many agencies that have to go through and review this, and the time that it takes to get there, and the things that change within the community while you're getting there, within technology and all those things. And we have looked at that. We had a very heated discussion about the type
of system we wanted, and it was the board decision to go with the oxidation ditch. That was our decision. We made it because we had excellent advice from our advisors that we paid a bunch of money to. I don't know about you guys. I'm probably, with Robert, the most experienced up here of our appointed and elected officials on this subject, but I would hate to say that I'm an expert. I'm not. I rely on the people that we spend our money to give us their expert advice. We have experts on our staff. They are the people who know what we're talking about, who can calculate what these different risks are and advantages are. As Dylan tried to explain, it's a very complex thing, that whole design build or design bid build. It's not easy, so we can't up here in a group that changes every year with elections make decisions that are as informed and wise as the people we hire to give us that advice. Yes, we have to decide on what they give us. We did. We decided on the oxidation ditch. That decision has been made. Now, if when the RFQ went out, if PERC had wanted to come back and say, hey, no, we can do this better and we can do it this way, they had every opportunity to say that. In fact, some of the people that applied did say that. And I'm not buying that PERC didn't know, because they were very adamant about watching all of the sewer plants along the coast. So they had that opportunity. They did not take it. They come up the week after we've signed an agreement saying, oh, no, we can do it better. The train had already left the station, and this is the train we're talking about. It's a very expensive train. You talk about starting over, going back, potentially missing our timeline, putting in reclamation at this time, the cost, and then you worry about the cost. The cost is going to go up dramatically. We tried to avoid. We tried to make it gradual. That's what we're doing. We're on a long-term, logical, positive movement forward. None of this has been done willy-nilly, none of it has been done casually, and none of it has been done without investigating all the options at every point down the line. And if now we are going to go back and say, okay, even individually checking out their system, if you're going to do that, if you're going to consider another system, you have got to make it fair to everyone else. You can't just go and look at a PERC project. You've got to go and look at every other person who offers this kind of project and compare them. We've had nothing as far as the interviews and the questions and the grilling that the applicants had for this project that we awarded a contract on from any of these other agencies, because we haven't asked for it. We chose a different direction. If we're going to go back and do that on a parallel level, the only way to do it fairly is to send out an invitation to every single one of these people who would like to make a presentation and consider them all equally. And you know what? Even when we do that, I can't look at some pretty pictures and say, that's the best project. I know it. I do not have the expertise. I would not even claim to do that and be responsible for that kind of a decision for our community. I have got to rely on the people who are trained to do that. That's what they do. That's what they know. That's what they went to school for. That's what they do every day. And I respect that. And that's also what we pay them for. So it to me, to say, okay, none of that was done right, we have to go back now that we're a new group and start all over again, is not only absurd, but it's disrespectful to the whole process and the people who have been diligently working at it for 10 years.
Ms. Mayor?
Yes.
You knew I would say something. I have to say that I think you're making a few exaggerations. No one has said that the process has been willy-nilly or taken off-handed or anything like that. We've all been very serious about it. We've won some, we've lost some, but we all have been involved in the process, and we've all been very serious about it. Just because you're on staff doesn't mean, and that you are an expert, but that doesn't mean that they weren't trained in a certain field in a certain way. There's traditional ways. There's new. I almost feel like we're afraid to look at something different, lest it look better. And I think the kinds of questions that Ms. Borchardt asked, the kind of questions that you have, can be answered in a presentation. It's not going to, they can't be answered if we don't give them an opportunity to do that. And I agree, if we ever decide to change paths, we would have to open that up and talk to other people. All we're looking for, and we, as I'm saying, as the community, is we're looking for an example to see what the options are. So I don't think we need five presentations next month. We need one presentation that would show us as a demonstration what else might be available. And that's all we're asking for.
And I would agree with Ms. Winholtz. And actually, I do think it's important for me to say, and I hope all of us are not coming into this discussion with an attachment to any particular technology or company or delivery model, but that we have an open mind to what the options are. And that, yes, PERC has presented an interesting option, but that we are going to hold them to the same standards that we're holding every other firm or Montgomery Watson Harza to. And I actually think that's essential for us to come out of this with the best project, the best value for the community.
Carla, do you have something to
No. I have all the respect in the world for the 10 speakers or so that are residents of our community, our two communities, but they don't speak for the other 10,000 people that we represent, plus the several thousand Cayucas do that are comfortable with the path we've chosen and are heading down.
Well, in response to some of the comments that Betty and Noah made, we don't want to open this up to presentations from several people. We just want it from one. One that did not apply when they have the opportunity to. One that to me, I mean, we've been criticized for not making our RFQs and RFPs wide enough. And now we want to schedule a presentation from one company at the expense of all the others that might want to be there too. I'm not against a presentation. Believe it or not, I'm not. But I want a presentation from every single one that would be interested in applying. And I think that is the only way we can do it fairly. So if you want to do it along this 10-year line, 7-year line, whatever it's been, we've made decisions. And now we're talking about reconsidering those decisions. So there's something to be said for being open-minded until you decide, given all the information your open mind has gathered, that this is the decision I'm going to make. And then after that, being open-minded can sometimes get you into a lot of confusion and trouble and be costly. All right, so here we are. Anything else that you want to add over here after all that?
Just very quickly, I will go on the record as being opposed to having a presentation by one firm. I'm opposed to having presentations by half a dozen firms at this point. We've already done that. I would like to invite PERC to bid on the construction phase, and they can do that like a lot of other folks can, those who are qualified. And I understand this is a discussion item, and I'm kind of hoping this horse is dead.
Okay, I see no other comments from Cayucas.
Then I would make a motion on Moore Bayside and move that we ask PERC to do a presentation at our next meeting that will be the second Thursday in May.
I'll second.
Discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
3-2. Motion fails.
Okay. So should we follow up with
Point of clarification, Tim, is this an action item?
It's an action item insofar as placing a matter on a future agenda, if you choose to do that.
But it says discussion of whether to have a presentation.
I think it says on a future agenda, which is the purpose. I thought that was the purpose.
So a motion would be in order to do that or not do that?
To place it on a future agenda, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And that was just defeated, so I don't know if you have a similar motion or not.
No motion from Cayucas.
The motion or the comment that I made earlier would would be what I would move, and that would be that, no, we do not hear a presentation.
Okay. All right. No, you had something else to say?
Yeah, I was wanted to follow up on what seemed to be some consensus about fielding some presentations from firms such as PERC and allowing the opportunity for that to happen so we can vet this option out. And
space requirements of all those. Did we not already do this evaluation that someone's asking for here?
Bill Callahan, District Manager, Cayucas Sanitary District. In the facilities master plan, we looked at a project.
Excuse me. You're beeping.
We look at a kind of a rehabilitation project that's similar, trickling filter, solids contact. We looked at an oxidation ditch, and we looked at an MBR. And Bruce, please correct me if I'm wrong. So those are the technologies that we did look at.
And that was 2006, May 2006?
I think it began
the report was completed?
Correct.
How long did it take to develop the facilities master plan?
I think about a year, yeah.
So those numbers that were evaluated within that report and that was the decision was based on to go with the oxidation ditch effectively were at the earliest from 2005.
Yeah, but I think there's been some local, more recent evaluations of MBR and their costs in the county.
And I think they updated some of those costs in the facilities master plan amendment that talked about moving the plant site a little bit south that was presented at the September 8th meeting. I believe that was when it was presented. And I do have some information from PASO that I'd be more than happy to share. I just received it, actually, that looks at some value engineering. Paso Robles is, I think, at 30 or 60% design on their wastewater treatment plant upgrade at this point. And they did value engineering on MBRs and I think SBRs and compared some of the costs with that stuff. And I'd be more than happy to share that information with the board. I think I may have it electronically. If not, I think I can get it electronically.
Okay, so I guess to clarify my what I just said, really, it seemed like there was consensus that we have at least some interest in the design, build, finance, operate, delivery model at a minimum. And that, to me, is where we should open the door for some proposals to be submitted to us. And that would be my motion.
Second.
I'm sorry, clarify your motion. I don't know what it was.
That we invite proposals from design, build, operate, finance, delivery model firms.
Okay.
To evaluate whether we want to proceed on that path or not.
Proposal, it's another. So presentation, I think, clarified my concern.
Okay.
And by way of information, MWH does offer that delivery method. And another mechanism for pursuing that intent is you go, I mean, I would be happy to sort of, if there's a discussion on there, if it's just educational, we can make some strides on that. I mean, you can come in my office, we can talk about it, and I can get you some literature to read up, or you can, you know, kind of talk to other people. But if it's a formal presentation to the board and not a proposal, then that was all I wanted to clarify.
Okay. And I'm supporting it because I think it needs to be a public presentation, not just one to the board members one-on-one or individually. I think it's something that the public would like to hear because certainly we have been challenged that it's possible to build a project in a different way at a third of the cost. And whether it's true or not, it's that chalice has been thrown down, and I think that it needs to be responded to. And so I would like to see those numbers, and I think that's one of the concerns that Ms. Borchard was expressing earlier.
I'm sorry, Noah. Is the motion, could you repeat it? Because it sounds to me like the one we just voted down. And so I guess I'm missing
what we've
different.
Just voted down, in my interpretation, was a direct invitation to PERC Water to present solely to the board at the next meeting. So what I'm proposing is a modification of that to basically, instead of focusing on a single company, to open it up to the concept of a design, build, finance, operate delivery model, and for us to get some presentations based on that sort of a system. And if you'd like, could you read back the motion?
The motion I have, Smuckler moves that we open the opportunity for firms that offer design-build-delivery model to make presentation before the board. Did I get that correct?
We need the finance in there in between build and operate.
Design, build, finance.
Operate.
When we talk about finance, are we talking about private finance or state revolving funds?
Private.
Okay. Well, are we in discussion phase at this point? I'm not interested in private financing. It's so much more expensive than state revolving fund, I'm not interested in that.
Well, from what I understand, the finance elements, there's a choice there. So
discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, motion fails. 3-2 again.
All right, I think we're done with that one.
So, Madam Mayor,
yes.
Could I clarify a point here? Dylan, you need to help me with this just a little bit. There've been several numbers bantered about this $18 million, saving us $10 million over what we've designed. Could you tell me what the estimate in our design, what's the estimate for construction of the new plant?
I think that's an excellent point. I have a very hard time believing that we could save $10 million on our construction costs. Our estimated construction cost at this point is $16.9 million. Our project cost rolls up to, as of September 2009, $27,392,000. So to save $10 million off your construction costs would mean that you would have a $6.9 million construction cost with $1 million of subsoil stabilization and $1 million of flood impact mitigation, which means that you would have a $4.9 million construction cost. I would be very surprised, and you know, Steve can nod his head, if they could provide a 1.5 MGD tertiary wastewater treatment plant for $4.9 million.
Thank you.
But I think there's a little confusion here in that this is a design, build, finance project, which means we also need to take in consideration the financing for the design as well, which you did not mention.
Correct. When you look at a design, build, operate, finance, and I've been speaking only to design, build, design, bid, build, you can look at operate, finance independently from your project delivery method. So you go... The O stands for operate. It's how you operate that facility. So you can continue to operate it with your existing staff. You could hire a contract operator, which in this case it's referring to. That O can happen in conjunction with the D and the B or the D and the BB. That O is a separate sort of discussion. You can roll them all together. And then same thing with the F portion. You go, I would hate to guesstimate how many different methodologies are available to finance a project. I don't have a degree in finance, and our finance director is here, but you go, I don't think she could give you an accurate number. There are virtually limitless methodologies available to finance projects. And so I think, you know, as you go through that process.
But we did. We got an opinion from the district's engineer also.
And he took his direction from this board, so.
Yeah, and that needs to be acknowledged. Certainly,
yes.
We have as a board a majority given direction.
Yes.
So
thank you.
So at this point, we're not saying that it's staff's fault or responsibility, but
okay.
Also it is our responsibility to make sure that we are open-minded.
Absolutely.
And reviewing our options and not wedded to one concept so much that we miss an excellent opportunity, which this
okay.
is. $10 million is intriguing enough.
I think we've done this one.
We might need to look
okay.
at.
Do you want to take a short break before we
Wonderful.
Go with the rest of our agenda? Yes, okay.
Thanks.
We're going to take a short break. Okay, we're back, and we're going to continue our agenda. The next item up is discussion and consideration to contract for a project manager for the upgrade process. And who's doing that one?
Rick? I'll start off.
Bruce? Okay.
As you pointed out, this is a discussion about a project manager for the wastewater treatment plant. The treatment plant upgrade is now progressing on actually three major tasks. The design process, we have an engineer under contract for the design. We have consultants under contract for the environmental review and permitting process. And then staff is currently working together to start the SRF loan application process and the SRF funding process, I should say. We're asking that the council and the board direct us to put out an RFP, to prepare an RFP for project management and bring that back at the next JPA meeting for your consideration prior to public notice. The rationale behind that is that the three projects or the three tasks that I just discussed are all very complex tasks in and amongst themselves. They require coordination to proceed on their own, as well as they are interdependent in some of the tasks required from one task, subtask will be required for another task. And a good example of that is the CEQA process needs to be completed prior to the SRF loan application being formally submitted. Staff, prior to the upgrade process, had full-time jobs, and the upgrade process is becoming more than a full-time job. And as the design process rolls forward, it's going to be a very labor-intensive process. So we've outlined three project management options. One is to continue managing the project using existing staff resources, which would basically be project management by committee. I'm on page 2 of that staff report. The second option is to hire a third-party project management, and that could either be an individual or a consulting firm. They would basically be a neutral third party that both the city and the district could look to protect their individual and collective interests throughout the upgrade process. And their primary task really would be the coordination of the three tasks that I outlined and kind of anything else that pops up in this process. The last option would be to increase the scope of the existing design and environmental consultants to have them basically manage those project tasks. The TAC, we brought this discussion forward to the TAC meeting on March 26th, and the general consensus there was they supported option number 2, which was to issue an RFP and hire a third-party project manager. The consensus there was that the project manager would be brought on board basically for the design process, which is outlined right now for about 15 months. And we would look at the end of the design process whether project management was still needed. At the end, prior to construction, we will hire a construction management firm to oversee the construction process, and they may be able to fill the role of the project manager at that point. So basically, it was kind of an interim position to get us through the design process, complete the environmental, assist with the SRF loan application. Once we got those three things done, then we would reevaluate whether we needed to keep that person on board. I put some discussion of the roles and the authority of the project manager. And I think the key point of that discussion is that city staff will still be an integral part, and district staff will still be an integral part of this process. We're turning over project management to a firm or individual to assist us in making sure, and we're concerned that without some of that assistance, we may not be able to successfully deliver the project by January 2014. We would follow an RFP process similar to that we've used in the past, where we would issue an RFP with a detailed scope of work, outlining what we think the critical task for the project manager would be. We would have criteria in that RFP for evaluating it. We'd go through the interview process, and we would bring back a recommendation of award based on that evaluation process. And the evaluators would be both city and district staff. So, there's an org chart on the back of that staff report that kind of shows the interaction between the city and the district and the project manager. And then on the other page, it shows sort of the interaction between the project manager and the design firm and the outside agencies and how basically how those the role and function of those people would be. The fiscal impact was an estimate on staff's part. We have struggled to put an exact number to this process. It's going to be somewhat fluid in terms of when and how much work is required at any given moment. Some weeks we may not have that. The project manager may not have a whole lot to do. But as design rolls forward, as the environmental document goes out and comments come back, that person is going to be an integral part of dealing with the consultants and making sure that that workload is distributed to staff accordingly. So we put in a broad range of about $150,000 to $250,000 to cover that interim process. And I know I've had a discussion with one council member on that dollar figure, and I think it'll come up during the discussion. So with that, I would turn it over to the board and council for discussion.
All right. Any questions from Morro Bay? Rick?
Just that the design, construction, the environmental, the loan app, all that is going to be for one firm. You're not going to separate those out.
No, it would basically be one person or firm to coordinate all the activities that need to be conducted to successfully complete those tasks.
Okay, and a project manager would also be like another arm of an audit, checks and balances kind of thing, like our five-layer audit, so to speak. That we would
you
have.
Betcha, and I point out and Susan and any number of other people. So.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question, probably a couple. If there's a concern out there about the effectiveness or the integrity of a third-party review, are there ways for us to include in an RFP elements that really ensure that we do have that we have a neutral party coming in that would give us that that we could be confident of their opinions, that they weren't attached to a specific concept, or that they were going to help us as we go through even the draft EIR evaluate alternatives with an open mind. Is that possible?
I think that they are going to follow the general direction that the board and council have given them. I do know that we will do value engineering if we go through the SRF loan process, I think at about 30%, and part of the PM's job would probably be to assist us in developing an RFP or hiring the value engineering for, and they're going to look at what we've done to date in terms of design and project and say, yeah, you're doing the right thing or you're not.
Will they be required to follow the marching orders that we've, or the board majority's been consistent with as far as oxidation ditch is the plan and the goal since 2000 or whatever it was?
I would imagine that is what you would want, is that they're going to have to follow the general guidelines that the city and the district board have established, similar to what we do at staff level at this point. You know, we're really focused on that because that's the direction that we've been given. So that's kind of the direction we would give the PM.
Mm-hmm. And then it's pretty clear that there's a lot of moving parts and there's a fair amount of facilitation that's going to be required from here on out, and that was really important for to the point that we have received here. How could this position actually be hired with an eye towards a facilitation and process-oriented background as part of their qualifications?
If I get the question correctly, I think in the scope of work, we will outline the task.
I know to this point, you've been burdened with facilitating, which isn't an engineer's strong suit usually, and so that would seem to me to be a valuable skill or skill set to have included. I'm probably going to vote against this this hire, but I think that would be an important thing to include if it were decided to go ahead.
Okay. Other questions?
Yeah.
Is it us?
Go ahead.
Bruce, do you have the skill set to do this?
No, sir, I do not. I've never managed a project of this magnitude. And by trade, I'm a wastewater treatment plant operator. I'm not an engineer. Uh-huh. So I bring a different perspective to the process. But really, you need somebody that has done this before. And part of what, in my mind, you're hiring is you're hiring the guy to say, hey, don't step in that pothole over there, because if you do, you're not ever going to get out, or it's going to cost you a bunch of money. And so you're buying expertise, and you're hiring somebody that has been through this process before and knows the ins and outs, so they can help us just kind of do it seamlessly rather than starting and stopping.
I have one other comment on these flow charts. Just from the Cayucas perspective, you know, Cayucas pays part of your salary and the part of the Morro Bay staff salary that is charged to the JPA. But we also pay Bill Callahan's salary and our district staff's salary for working on this. And if it sort of is designed here that you and the Morro Bay staff are representing Morro Bay and their interests, I think we need to take a look at that. It seems like we're paying twice, really.
Well, I think the idea here was just to kind of lay out a general org chart of how the interaction would take place. So in other words, the project manager would be the single point of contact for the design firm and outside agencies. And then he would relay that information to both Bill and myself. And sometimes Bill is in the loop, but not necessarily doing the work. And sometimes they have actually, you know, had to step up and say, hey, here's the work product. But a lot of times the goal has been...
Is it more somebody that's had grant writing experience or just general CEQA and, you know, regulatory processing issues?
I'm thinking it is a person with engineering background that has had experience in projects of this nature. And the I know somebody that I have in mind. And he actually helped us with the RFP process for the design, and that was Dennis Delsite, who was the former public works director for the city of Pismo Beach. And he's been through the CEQA process on other projects. He's built a wastewater he was involved in the construction of the Pismo Beach wastewater treatment plant. But I think that's the kind of person you're looking for, a person with a multiple skill set. And they don't have to be an expert in any one of them, but I think they're going to have some sort of engineering background, I would think.
And this is 18 month?
Approximately. I think we're looking at about a 15. Right now, I think the design schedule is about 15 months. And the numbers that we drew up in the front were basically based on a person working about 20 hours a week during that time period.
So that would be about 1,500 hours? 1,200 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
1,200
52
hours?
52 weeks times 20.
1040 is for about 20 hours for 1 year.
And so you're thinking of about $100 and $125 an hour, basically, is how you're
pricing
this?
I would think
this?
You're probably going to pay a little bit more than that if you're hiring a professional engineer, based on pay scales that I've seen.
I think, what about consideration of just trying to find somebody and bring them on staff? There's a lot of people.
It'd have to be a contract, wouldn't it?
Why would it have to be a contract?
Well, a contract for the term of the project.
Yeah, correct. That was one of the things.
You're not on. There's no red.
Is that better? Yeah. Okay. We had a TAC meeting on the subject. One of the thoughts, you go from the city's perspective, I usually fill this role as the project manager for the city's capital projects. But based on my current workload, you go, even if you guys would let me, I couldn't fill this role for the wastewater treatment plant project. One of the things we talked about was, well, we could make this person a contract employee of the city. and bring
$50,000.
I think I'm smart enough not to answer that.
Why?
I think one of the points you're also missing is that this is another one of those jobs. It's an excess. It's another expense that was not figured into the original price. They're asking for another position to do another job that we did not figure into our timeline or to our budget. This is another job that a company like PERC would have taken over, that we would not have an additional expense. In fact, would actually have less expense because they'd be doing this whole thing together as one big project.
I disagree with that. We'd have somebody needing to look over PERC or anybody else that we're...
But at that point, it would be a minimal looking over, and it's that again, that's something probably that Dylan or someone else could do that's on staff. What you're at looking for here is someone that's involved in a huge process rather than just a contact person from our agency. And just while I have the mic, I'll finish my comments so I won't have to make them later. I have to say, I'll just be blunt about it. This bothers me that this has come forward now. This was not figured in earlier. I think we probably knew when we doubled up on our jobs, oh, we're going to get this one in early so we can do this one early, you know, the design with the EIR and all this, that it was going to get real complex. And yet this was not brought forward to us earlier that this was going to be something that was going to be asked for. So I'm not in favor of spending another $250,000 on this project when we're not willing to save money in another respect.
I just wanted to make a point of clarification. In the current project budget, so our $28 million that we're kind of bantering around, and we have a 35% contingency, well, not contingency, but we have a 35% line item for engineering, legal, administrative, project oversight. This is the kind of role, and this is where you would spend the money. So there is a budget in our project for it, but it wasn't budgeted in this fiscal year in Bruce's budget for the upgrade process. And so I want to make that point of clarification, that this is a legitimate project expense that is anticipated in the project, but it wasn't budgeted in this year's wastewater treatment plant budget for the design process.
But you're saying it was budgeted in our $28 million?
Yeah.
But under contingency?
Contingency is the wrong word. We have a 35% line item in there for administration legal. Firming up your vision of what the project looks like, and you're also firming up the budget for the project that you're actually building. So these estimates shift around, but your goal is through the design process or in the facilities master plan process. Corolla's goal when they prepared that was to give you a budget that would work, and they generally tend to shoot a little bit high, and they do that on purpose because they don't want to come back in 5 years down the road and have you say, hey, you said it was going to be a $28 million program. It's, you know, $58 million, and we only budgeted for 28. Why did you do that to us? But there are also market conditions. I mean, you go, right now is a great time to go out to bid on construction projects. In 2005, it was a bad time. The market was going crazy. There was a lot of risk. So you always carry that market risk as you move through this. But this was a cost that was anticipated in the project budget. And I just wanted to clarify that point.
It just came in sooner than we anticipated.
Yeah, we advanced right from our project schedule, which had the award of design in September. We advanced that. We made that award in March. And so now we're advancing this expense as well.
And ultimately, having someone look over all of this is going to save us his salary and probably then some. Carla has questions.
Yeah, Mr. Wade, I have a question, and thank you for your time earlier today to clarify a lot of this for me. But option three, if the increase in scope were to go to the existing companies we're working with to just add to their workload, do you have any idea approximately what that cost would be versus outright hiring a consultant full-time?
My guess is that there's some efficiency to be gained there. I would say it probably saves you in the order of 25%. I think an important point to clarify, too, is that you go, the design process is separate from the environmental review process. The environmental review process is managed by the city's planning department. And you go, that's there, and then Rob oversees that function. But this role is to sort of coordinate that process and make sure that the design process and the project supports the city's review of the project. And so you go, it's kind of an odd role. And it is one of those roles where you need to be, you know, uniquely knowledgeable. You need to have a technical background or else you tend to get lost in this. And you also have to learn how to be diplomatic because you're often put in awkward positions.
I would agree with her comment and the fact that he's very vested in other capital projects for our city.
And I agree, but I think you need to ask that question, not assume that we are agreeing or not agreeing. And actually, I think it's perfect that Dylan should do this role because that is his background. And maybe that he would then, I thought even, didn't we get him another engineer to help him with his job so he could do all these other expanded roles? We did just hire him another engineer. Yeah, we did.
Perhaps.
But I do like the option that maybe we go with three instead of with two.
I think it would be a job to train somebody to do Dylan's job. When we look at our nitrate contamination, when we look at the desal plant, when we look at all these other things that he is so deeply involved in, that we have vested all this time and energy and money into, switching the positions wouldn't be the prudent thing to do.
I'd like to suggest perhaps that it's more on Dylan's shoulders as to whether or not he would wish to apply for the job. And then we'll find out how things turn out.
Well, and you have to think, too, you know, he is full-time employee. This would be a part-time job.
But already this is being couched as an RFP, which we're going to hire out as an outside consulting firm, versus looking at hiring an employee, you know, a full-time employee to deal with this. And I don't... you know, you're slotting this with only one alternative, which in eliminating others.
Well, there's another important consideration, and that's something that the TAC talked about with this, is that we want someone who is objective and not beholden to either side. You need someone who really can be in the middle if there are decisions that need to be made by both sides, and you need someone who can be totally objective, whereas Dylan, even if you were to hire him separately, he's still got pretty strong ties to the city. So I think it needs to be someone who can be objective in the whole project.
Also, we're talking about, I think, Bruce, you mentioned 20 hours or so a week. That doesn't sound like a full-time employee. And also, we can decide... the staff can decide as to how many hours this person is actually required, and he can be supervised and monitored. So it's not like he's going to be told, well, just go work 40 hours or work 20 and claim 40.
That we're going to be doing the two parts of the job. I don't know that we need to hire a person.
I suggested considering hiring a person because, to me, $250,000 seems... ridiculous, and in this environment, I mean, there's a lot of project managers that be happy to have a job.
Perhaps what we do is put a ceiling on the money of 150 or something like that and see what we can do in terms of our selection process.
And I would agree with that.
Is it a glass ceiling or concrete?
Well, you're going to get, yeah, you put in $150,000 and the guy gets down 12 months, he spent his $150,000. Are you going to let him drop out the last 6 months when we need him the most?
It's a rate per hour. I mean, that's the...
It would mean hiring somebody at $150 an hour for 20 hours a week on the average, which is $150,000 for the duration of the project. So I think you just have to hold them to that when we hire them.
But would you not rather go with another alternative, number three, which says we can cut that even that amount by 25%?
I agree that you can cut the amount. I'm sorry, Michael. You can cut the amount, but you're still going to have to pay for some additional oversight.
I don't recall one professional firm on our design contract that was at $125 an hour. I think you're light by about $100 an hour. You may save 25% of time, but you're still paying somebody, you know, an awful lot of overhead that this person doesn't need to incur.
I still favor option number two, but I think that we could put a limitation on the expenditure and try to work within that.
I agree. We need to go with option two, because if we go with option three, you're talking about a project that becomes more and more complex the longer along the road we go, and an overworked staff in Morro Bay already. We just, to add more to that, what you create the potential for mistakes. And it's not anybody's fault if they're overworked and understaffed. You're going to have that happen, and this is too important to risk that. You need someone whose sole focus is this project, not this project amongst half a dozen others.
I think also with...
I thought you were our project manager, and I just want to compliment you on the job you've done over the past years. Our confidence in you has grown. Your ability to get both the Cayucas Board and the Morro Bay Board to get together and get this thing done was very impressive. If you wanted the job, you got it.
All right. What I
having said that, I do not support hiring someone from the existing firms, your environmental firm or the design firm, to be your project manager. We tried that in Cayucas for a small project we had. It turns out that whoever, wherever he gets his paycheck, would be through that firm. That's where his loyalties are, and not necessarily with Morro Bay or Cayucas. I very much support option number two. I'm concerned that if you limit the amount of money, you limit who's going to apply, and you generally get what you pay for in this arena. So I would hesitate to put a ceiling on it at this time. Let's get some information. Let's see who shows up and what they want to get paid for it. There was only one other question I had, Bruce, and that was the RFP process time-consuming and burdensome, and was there a simpler way to do that?
Honestly, it's time-consuming and burdensome. Well. But I don't, you know, I don't know. There's no good answer to that question, because we have to develop a scope of work. And in all honesty, you know, I can hit save as on my computer just as easy as anybody else can, change the name of the RFP we used, and that's what I'm going to do for design, and take the basic framework of that RFP and roll in the scope of work with with modifications along the way, and then we will bring that back. I'll run it past all staff, district staff, to make sure that we think we've covered what this person's going to do, and then we'll bring it back to the board. And if you guys say, "Hey, we don't think he needs to do that," or "What about this?" then we'll roll that stuff in and we'll put it out on the streets.
Okay. By the way, Dylan, I didn't mean to overlook you in the compliment section there. You've done a great job for us.
Opens it up to a little more oversight from the board, or at least involvement from the board.
Well, any suggestions you have on that line, feel free to email me, because we'll try and incorporate that as much as possible. It's not design. You know, the whole process was designed to be as inclusive of city and district staff as possible, using the expertise of our capital projects coordinator, the city, the district's engineer, and any input the board has. So if you have suggestions to make it a better process, I'm all ears.
Yeah, my suggestion is that somehow the board is more involved in that selection process.
I'd like to make a motion then that we instruct staff to prepare an RFP to hire a project manager under option number two, and to bring that RFP back to the JPA for review.
Second.
Okay.
So during that, for discussion, during
yeah,
that,
discussion.
Thank you. During that review, then we'll have an opportunity to look at the cost. Right. Okay.
No, Dylan's saying no.
You won't know the cost until the RFP is answered. And, but what you'll get an opportunity to do is more along what Noah was asking for, is that the board is inclusive in that process. There is some latitude in how you write RFPs. There's the law basically says that you're encouraged for professional services to use a qualification-based selection. So you're not supposed to base solely on price. So your RFP process will have a lot on qualifications. And really, then we're going to bring it back to you, though, so that you can review our RFP process, not so much that you get a – we won't know the cost until we've actually – we'll bring it back again for award, and at that point you get to see the cost.
Okay.
Okay. Any more discussion?
No, not okay. So is there not a not-to-exceed amount then? So you're just saying that it's – so it could be more than $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm not okay with
that. The picture?
I think the important comment here is that we are going to solicit proposals. And part of that proposal process is you don't have to accept any of the proposals. So if it comes back and they say, hey, we want $500,000, $300,000, the board can summarily reject those. And then we can say, hey, what's the next step? We either put it back out on the streets or we go another route.
And that's all good to say, but when we came to the...
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. 3-2. Motion succeeds. Winholz and Smuckler opposed.
Cayucas. Motion carried. Yes?
Yes. Motion carried.
Cayucas, same motion.
I favor the motion, but when you bring the RFP proposal to it, is there any way that you could also simply just evaluate, I don't know, on monster.com or something else, you know, the possibility of what it might cost to bring that position in-house? You want somebody that represents our interest. What you're talking about is an employee relationship, not an independent contractor relationship.
We can bring that analysis back. If the Cayucas board feels comfortable having it be an internal employee, we can look at that. You are right. In this economy, there are lots of qualified people out there looking for work. So that would be another option. But it's really, we want consensus of the board as to how this is going to happen. And, of course, it could be an internal employee, but we really are looking for that consensus to happen.
Well, I would see this position as being, even though it might be a Morrow Bay signing the payroll check, it would be the entire position would be paid and passed through to the JPA, so I would think they would represent us both. I don't see that as a conflict.
It wouldn't be that much different than Mr. Keogh's
role. No different than we don't look at you.
Process.
The one thing you'd have to take into consideration, though, is if you have an employee, you've got benefits, and that kicks up the amount.
Well, that
part-time employee?
They may.
Oh, okay. It'll just be a contract. We can do it without a bid.
Michael?
Okay.
Were you offering that motion? Or did you want...
I
wasn't clear whether you were making the same motion.
No, I was just asking that be done at the same time that the RFP is developed, that possibility be considered as an option.
Okay, you're just clarifying. So we would need a motion then?
I'll make the same motion as Morbay.
Motion and a second.
There was interest in a comparison of the potential of hiring it in-house.
Right? That needs to be a vote. That needs to be a motion.
There was no vote for that.
Okay, all right.
I just asked a question.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's it then. Just the RFP.
Could I add that as a motion? Could I add a second motion?
Yes. Yes, you can.
I move that at the same time an RFP is prepared based on option two, that the staff explore the possibility of whether we could, you know, the cost benefits of filling that position by hiring an employee as opposed to an independent contractor.
Do I hear a second?
Can he repeat that motion so we can get it correctly on the minutes?
Well, it didn't get seconded, so I don't think it's going very far. But I move that at the same time you bring back the RFP on option number two, that you bring back an evaluation of the possibility of hiring an employee to meet those same responsibilities.
I have a question, Mr. President. All right. My question is what you're asking, Michael, is for the staff to do an independent study that is independent of the motion, and what would be the degree? In other words, would it be just a staff quick study as to the desirability, the cost feasibility, et cetera?
Yeah, just an analysis of whether once we've developed the RFP to identify, you know, the level of expertise and the qualifications for the job, that the staff consider whether we could fill that position more cost effectively by hiring somebody as an employee.
But this would be a part-time employee because it's only going to last for 15 months?
Yeah, could be a part-time employee, could
and then,
be a
and we'd still
part-time
to,
temporary employee.
And we'd have to provide benefits and you, all of the employee benefits.
Yes, but I would suggest that a benefits, a fully loaded package, should be a lot less than what we're going to pay a provincial engineer.
Let me interrupt first and ask for a second so we can actually have this discussion. Is there a second?
Well, I've got another question, too. I'm sorry. I'm not understanding the difference. Why would we contract someone to the city rather than contract them to the JPA? I don't get it. What's the advantage?
Tim can tag in on this one. I don't know that our current agreement allows the JPA to have its own employees. I don't believe that we have that authority on the JPA. What we're talking about effectively, and I think what Michael's getting at, is it's this is a contract delivery mechanism discussion again. We can't seem to get enough of those tonight. But you go, really what it is the difference between having this employee be an employee of an outside firm and you contract with that firm to bring this employee, or hiring an employee directly to serve that same function. At the end of the day, the function would be the same. There's some complications to making an internal employee of the city, in that it's precisely the biggest concern I would have in that process is you go, well, what time do you ascribe to them? Is it a full-time position or a part-time position? But you could write your employment contract from the city's perspective that would cover that. So the end result would be very similar. It would just be that you hopefully, through this process, would save on overhead. Right? You wouldn't be paying a firm's profit. There would be no profit in that position. It would just be the actual cost of the employee. So it's employee costs versus a burden or a loaded employee cost that you would get through contracting with a firm.
Thank you, Dylan. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Michael?
Aye. Those opposed?
I'm against it. I'm sorry.
Are you an aye?
I'm
okay,
an
it's unanimous.
No.
Thank you.
I thought she was a no. She's
no,
a no,
you're a no.
I voted no.
I'm sorry, it's 3-1.
It's a waste.
Okay, do anybody over here want to make that motion?
I'll make a motion just because Cayucos did. I think we need to weigh in on the same motion, so I would make the same motion.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? I'm still not.
Discussion? I don't really see any harm in it. I think that we're going to be shown that it's probably going to cost us less to go the independent route. So
contractor, you contract with them as the city. It's still a contract employee, so I see no purpose of them being a city employee contracted. It serves no difference.
Well, I guess the only thing that is the overhead that we might save. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. 4-1 with
Carla opposed. Ms. Borchardt opposed. Okay. So we're doing that. Now, discussion on State Revolving Fund. Susan, is this one yours?
Good evening again, and I'll make this very fast. We need to look at an agreement to get ourselves a loan with the State Revolving Fund or with any other entity. So you've got two options in front of you. One is to have the city be the applicant for the loan, and we get a separate legal financial agreement with the CSD for their portion of the loan. The other option would be for us to continue to explore the possibility of two loans, and I've been told by the State Revolving Fund that this is not really a possibility, but we can go and talk to them face-to-face and see if they really mean it. I've also talked to the California Infrastructure Bank, who told me that no, we would need one applicant. And then I got a hold of the financiers that do certificates of participation, and he said, sure, I can do two of them, but why would you want to do that? It's going to cost the same amount of money for the city, and then you're going to turn around and charge the same amount of money to the CSD to do this. So we would be paying double for that kind of thing for the bond council and for the finance agency. So that's what's before you is option one or two, and I just need an agreement or a decision so I can move forward and start the credit review. Thank you.
Decisions. Any questions for Susan?
Ms. Slayton, I have a question. Thanks for your review of the options and the feasibility of those choices. My question is a little more focused on the SRF funds in general, and I'm not sure if it applies to this discussion or it's for a future date, but what are we doing in
certificates of participation, other methods of private financing, or the infrastructure bank, although SRF and the infrastructure bank are very linked, so I'm not sure that we could use State Revolving Fund and SRF. I think the two of them are almost one and the same, so we may have to go from SRF to private funding, and we would look at various avenues.
So at that point, we would have to abandon SRF most likely?
No. We would be able to use SRF for as much as we could get out of them and supplement with some kind of other municipal financing.
Do they do it by a chunk of money or by a percentage of the project?
I don't know, Lewis. Have you talked to them? They do the progress payments, but do you know if they look at a chunk of the project and say we're going to get 50% of the project, or if they either fund it or don't?
Well, they had two pieces. They had the...
Right, please.
Okay, sorry.
I recently attended a finance fair.
Who are you?
Oh, it's Lewis Perkins. I'm the ASO for the Cayuga Sanitary District. But I recently attended a financing seminar that they had down in Santa Paula, as a matter of fact, and went down there and looked at the different infrastructure bank, SRF, and talked with them. Basically, it starts out with a preliminary financing agreement and then rolls into a full-blown application for full financing. So you can finance a portion of it, which is all the planning phase, design phase we're in now. And then once we get past and into the construction phase, it's really then they do it in progress payments. As you get invoices, as we clear them that we've approved them, then we would send them to SRF and they would fund it. So basically they fund the project and then they do the progress payments.
So just to clarify, they'll do the whole project or they won't do the project at all?
I think they do the whole project. That's kind of what I felt. But they do it in pieces. So we would have to submit invoices. We'd have to incur the costs. We submit our invoices. Wait, get our money, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were to go to private financing, which is going to cost more, you could go and issue certificates of participation. There would be a greater cost with those initially, as well as a higher interest rate. But you would wind up with them saying, here's your money, And so we still incur our costs, but we send it off to the trustee. The trustee kicks a check back to us in 15, maybe 20 days. You're going to be on the hook for both sides, which is what I think most lenders are going to want to do.
So is it a chip with Cayucas that we could get a deal with them? Because we can give them cheaper money for a loan?
Well, I think it all has to do with the fact that you've got one project. And so your lenders are going to look at the fact that you've got one project, one plant. If Cayucas were to separately go and try to get funding, what would they be basing it on? It's not like they own one clarifier and they're going to, you know, put debt on that clarifier. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at, well, we own this little chunk of the area, and, oh, by the way, it's a little bit of the digester, and it's a little bit of this, and it's got the muffin monster tied in, and all this other stuff. So,
project manager right here, maybe?
Well, my husband was a septic tank pumper for about 5 years, so, you know, I have septic or, you know, wastewater treatment in my heart. That sounds bad. Anyway. Okay.
I think it's
moving
late.
On.
We need to
but yeah, you're gonna look at from your lenders. They're gonna look at the fact that there is just one plant, and so they're going to lean very heavily, and that's what I'm hearing, leaning very heavily on one person and a side agreement.
But I guess what my question is was a political question. Does this give us a bargaining chip with Cayucas?
No.
I don't really know how to answer that.
No, it's not your question.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
There is the possibility that we could be the lead agency on that loan. So having said that, we did have a discussion at our last board meeting. We would support the single loan financial agreement to be made between the two. Again, thank you, Bruce. That all comes from doing a good job and keeping us on the right track. And I believe this is on our agenda as discussion only. Is that right, Tim? Is there action on this one?
I hope so.
And we'll do that too. Or you want direction tonight?
Yeah. Okay.
But you,
yeah.
Is there a need to take? Do we have to? If there's a need to take action, we could probably satisfy the Brown Act's emergency requirements. So the board can take a separate vote to determine whether to add action on that item to the agenda. Because the finance director's indicated she needs to take action before our next meeting. So you'd have a separate vote on that issue. So one of you would move to add
tonight?
Action right now. Okay. If you want to take action. You right. Have expressed a need to take action.
All right. Thank you, Tim. If we have to do this, or we're going to lose more board members and we won't be able to do anything. So looking down the table, are we in agreement on this?
Yes.
Okay. Would somebody make a motion then?
I move that we
Option one.
I move that we accept option one and give Susan the authority to continue pursuing financing alternatives.
Is that? Let me interrupt you. The motion should be something to the effect of, with regard to agenda item, B2. To add an action component to it, essentially a B2A, so that you can take formal action. So essentially it would be action on state revolving fund loan for wastewater treatment plant upgrade. That would be the motion, to add that to the agenda. Then you'll take a separate vote on that. So you do it incrementally.
Okay.
Your first vote is just to add it. Which okay. Both you would have to do
I move it. That we add an action item to the agenda.
Under item
Under
B2.
Item, B2.
A second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Okay, now you can pick option one. Thank you, Tim. We need a motion to accept option one.
I move that we accept option one in agenda number B2.
I second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
All right. Now, do we need to do both motions as well? Okay.
Same motion as Cayucas.
This is the first one,
yes,
adding the action
first
item.
First half of
okay.
the action item.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Opposed? Okay. Noah, did you vote?
I said aye.
Okay. All right. So
for 6 months to go through the credit review process. So if I wait another month, that's, you know, just that much. As the longer that we wait, the longer it's going to take.
But are you under a deadline?
Am I under a deadline?
Yeah.
The wastewater treatment plan is, because if we start spending money and we get to a critical point where I say you're done, mm-hmm. I'll stop the project.
And are we there?
We are not there at this point.
Okay, thanks.
One point of just for the minute taker here, you guys are going really fast. Who made the motion on the first motion?
Carla and Rick, and same on the second.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No. Okay, same thing. 4-1. This one holds opposed. Okay. I just want to say thank you to Cayucas, because you are extending a lot of trust here, and I really appreciate that.
Okay, we want to add something for the agenda.
Okay.
Okay, under item new business B4, agenda items for the next meeting, Cayucas is requesting that you put on the agenda for decision for action the matter of paying for the new treatment plant costs based on the capacity that we're each requesting.
Payment for new plant costs based on capacity. Okay.
While you're adding items, just to clarify this particular issue, I suggest you ratify the action you just took on the SRF on your next agenda.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So bring it back for, okay.
That's it from Cayucas.
Okay. Any agenda items over on this side?
I'm interested to receive updates on the expenditures in our design process. I'd really like to know how and when that money's being spent.
Yeah, we can. I mean, literally, I haven't seen an invoice out of MWH yet. We just got them under contract. I know they're working right now. My guess is they're going to be billing monthly, and I'm sure we can bring back some sort of status report.
Okay. Anything else?
As far as the household hazard,
when we bring back, I would imagine, the site map or the project description, I think it would be included in there.
Okay. I was curious. Thanks.
Okay. And our next meeting, it looks like, is May 13th. Everybody got that on their calendar? That's the second Thursday. And will it be in Cayucas this time?
We will be happy to host in Cayucas.
Okay. That'll be fun. And I believe with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.